One Nation.
One Nation Sports.
Welcome to One Nation Radio, hosted by Richard Ladd and James Boyd. If you'd like to become a part of the nation, email us at radio1nation@gmail.com. You can contact us using Twitter at One Nation Radio, at DangerRich32, or at JamesBoyd0NR. We are also on iTunes as well. You can go to onenationradio.podomatic.com and subscribe to the show with the iTunes button on the right-hand side. And after all that, go visit foreverwrestling.tumblr.com for instant streaming, much more. Now that you've heard how to reach us, let's get to the show.
One Nation Radio.
Welcome to One Nation Radio. This is Rich. I'm sitting here with James. James, what's going on, man?
Not much, man.
Just ready to go?
Just ready to go.
A lot been going on. Yeah, pause. A lot been going on. I'd like to welcome to all the new listeners to One Nation Radio that haven't, been with us before. It's a very laid-back, fun kind of podcast. We try to get, through this hour and, bring the real, but also, realize it's fake.
Bring the real to something fake?
Yeah, okay. For our wrestling podcast.
That sounds something like cognitive dissonance, not cognitive dissonance, but it sounds a lot like an oxymoron.
Yeah.
But whatever.
Shout out to PWMania.com, who I'm writing for now. I dropped an article, got a lot of love on that.
Woo!
WhatCulture.com currently got, the six most controversial gimmicks that wouldn't work in 2014 is on the hot list out there. 47,000 views in 4 days. Appreciate everybody reading and commenting. We're moving up One Nation Radio. There may be some major announcements coming soon, but I'll keep those hidden in the tank until it's time to reveal. But, James, what's been going on with you, man?
Not much, just Royal Rumble threw me in a, threw everybody in a tizzy. Same thing with me too.
Word?
Yeah. So why you take it where you want to take it.
Well, first off, after Royal Rumble, WWE makes no effort at all. Like, I just hope everybody knows that this was the storyline. Like, when I talked, me and James had like an hour and a half conversation. I wish we would have recorded. I was out of town and I wasn't near my mic. But we had like an hour and a half conversation about it, and I was telling them that this is the storyline. Like, is they found a way to turn all of us into marks, and that's like what's been missing with us. And a lot of people can't handle that shit because they've been outsmarted, and the company,
they don't like having their emotions played with.
As you can see, Michael, that was on the internet for the second year in a row.
Yeah. On the podcast, I said to you, he's not getting backhanded, or he's not getting backdoor treatment, or not cool. The whole storyline is, I never said it in the terms you did. You verbalized it better than I ever did, but my whole thought process was, he's not getting buried because he's getting 20 minutes every single, opening or closing the show. He's, he's wrestling these epic matches where, he's in a gauntlet match. He's doing all this stuff where he's wrestling. He gets to wrestle for 25 minutes, or he gets 40 minutes out of a 3-hour show.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not burying. But, I just for the moment alone, I felt that. And it seems like they fixed it on Raw the next night, but
they said there was a rewrite that went on because they didn't expect the Daniel Bryan reaction to just overtake the Royal Rumble like that. Like, Rey Mysterio got booed so bad. Like, you guys were at the sports bar. I was watching it with headphones on.
I rewatched it.
Oh, my God. It's ridiculous. Like, booyah, booyah, booyah.
Yeah, and they cheered when he got eliminated quickly.
Yeah.
He got in, and, he was the next person he eliminated after he got in, and they cheered when he got eliminated.
Yeah.
It's Rey Mysterio.
Yep.
It's Rey Mysterio.
Like, I was listening to Cheap Heat, and they said everyone is a heel compared to Daniel Bryan. Like, you can turn anybody, with that man.
Yeah.
He is.
It got to the point where they had to. Batista had to mention him when he said, I told you I'm back. I mean, the next night on Raw, he said, I told you I'm back, and I'm back for the belts, and he's to ordinance. I don't care who's the champion, whether it's Brock Lesnar or you or Daniel Bryan. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, but like Daniel Bryan wasn't even in the Royal Rumble in context.
And he had to bring him up because, keep in mind, like, the whole time, Batista is, you know, he's getting booed while his music is playing because he won the Royal Rumble.
Really
he,
bad.
You know?
He was flipping off fans. He was just, like, looking like he didn't know how to handle it. Like, he's not Cena, obviously, with that. Roman Reigns, absolutely excellent in the Royal Rumble. Like, I know we said at Survivor Series that he was, that was this coming out party, but I feel like this was the real, like, I was like, oh my God, I see it.
They're building him. The weird thing is, I mentioned this to y'all last night after, and what struck to me, it struck me when he gave the apron side sidekick and landed on the apron. I think it was the Sheamus or Cena, and like his mannerisms, like
he's doing this thing where he shakes his shoulders.
He's charismatic. He's charismatic. Like he's not the best talker in the world, obviously, but he's charismatic, like, in the ring, and he does certain things, and even while he's a heel, like, you see it, that, like, he's eventually going to be a face, and it's going to be, I think he's going to be something special.
Like, he has his setup move with the Superman punch, and then he has a spear, he has this, like, shoulder shimmy he does in the ring, and then, like, he has his, like, wake-up taunt, like, when he hits the ground, like, when he punches the ground, like Jax from Mortal Kombat or something like that.
Like, that's, like, Superman landing from the sky, landing in a triumphant type of comic book type of pose, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, that's what a quarter of wrestling is, the poses and the visuals and the imagery. So, that definitely fits.
What did you think of the Royal Rumble let's just go in order.
Okay.
The Daniel Bryan and Bray Wyatt match.
It's probably, in my opinion, it's the best match so far this year. I mean, it's only been 3 weeks in, but whatever.
And we've had our reservations with Bray Wyatt. I am now I don't want to say I'm a Bray Wyatt believer, but he gets a ton of credit for me, like, for the match that they had. I didn't have any problem with how good it was and the fact that he went over, because I figured Bryan would be in the Royal Rumble, but the hype is real. Like, I wasn't sure at first, given the right, you know, storyline, like, you know, just have to, like, I did mention this to you before, he's going to move on, and he's not going to get to wrestle the best wrestler in the world anymore, so,
yeah,
we'll see.
That was the biggest match of his life, and he came through, so congratulations. You know, a lot of people,
better than SummerSlam, you're saying.
Yeah, it's better than SummerSlam. That match was terrible. But it was great to see that all that work and the investment that WWE put into him, and, you know, even while stuff didn't make worth a damn bit of sense, even like it's just inane stuff and them trying to, you know, get a program with somebody eventually, and then it took him some bouncing around to get from like a legitimate. Like, he had a legitimate program with Kane, and then it only lasted one match.
What the hell?
Yeah, and it was a bad match. And then, you know, he finally was bouncing around, or he's, like, jumping in on Miz, talking about, you know, whatever, or jumping in on whatever black wrestler at the time. So now, or whatever, mid-card
should they have just
the
been
time.
Racist?
No, you can't run that in 2013.
I'm sure Michael Hayes might have suggested
they couldn't,
that.
He's stupid. I mean, they couldn't do it explicitly.
Yeah.
But,
they could have whooped on, you know, Kofi, and they did whoop on Kofi.
Yeah, they whooped on R-Truth as well.
Yeah.
But they just, and then they finally moved him over to Bryan, and I guess the whole thing was, all right, how can we build a star off of, I feel I'm almost like looking at, it might have been a test, as if we're going to see how big and real this Daniel Bryan thing is by seeing if he can turn somebody into a quote-unquote star or a real player.
Yeah.
And Daniel Bryan just did that. So I don't know how much worth or how much equity he just built with, you know, everybody.
He better win the fucking belt.
But
that's what better happen.
But, I mean, it turned out to be a win-win scenario for everybody involved. Like, the Usos' involvement in this, it worked out great for them. Daniel Bryan was so hot and Daniel Bryan has been losing, has lost plenty of times over the past 2 years.
And it hasn't mattered.
And, like, they finally got somebody to, you know, to make, you know, the make the Wyatts seem substantial, and it worked out. It was a, you know, that was, I think that was, I think that was the biggest win for WWE on Sunday. I really do.
Luke Harper was carrying them boys.
Yeah,
like, shocked he ain't hurt his back.
Because you can't have a, like, they have a stable, I understand, like, NWO and Hogan back in the day, but it's Hogan you've seen a WrestleMania times, you understand his clout in the wrestling world and what he is, you know, the biggest star that's ever been made in wrestling, period, on a mainstream level. But for you to be out there and to talk, be the talker and the leader, meanwhile, you almost never wrestle. And the other two guys, and when you have wrestled, it has is left a lot to be desired. Mm-hmm. And the people that are wrestling with you or for you as goons, henchmen, whatever, you know, lackeys, cronies, whatever other, you know,
yeah,
whatever terms you want to use, are shown to be great workers.
Yeah,
it kind of like, well, it makes people, you know, you got to bring it. And yeah. I mean, he brought it, so congratulations. And it seems like, you know, all I ever wanted, even when this whole Bryan thing started, I always said, you know, it seems like they finally got something for him to do that makes some sense, and it works out so far.
Yeah. Match of the night. Moving on from that, we'll come back to Daniel Bryan in a minute. We'll be talking about Bryan the whole time.
Yeah.
Look, Brock Lesnar absolutely destroying Big Show. Like I was wondering if it was a Mick Foley tribute. You know, from Lesnar.
From what, 90s?
Yeah, from 99.
Yeah,
you know, it, you
I almost
know,
said 90s.
The way, you know, the way Rock whooped on Foley, you know, that it looked eerily similar, except without the headshots.
Yeah, I was going to say that, the headshots. I mean,
I called that to be a squash match in the PW Mania. I was like, Brock Lesnar must absolutely destroy Big Show.
Well, me, you, and Josh all called that being a squash match. Like, it was going to be like a 5-minute match or whatever. Well, it's officially a 5-minute match. They strung it out to, like, you know, I forgot, but they strung it out from the time they both got in the ring. It's probably like 10, 15 minutes, somewhere between there.
You know, Brock needed something to establish himself again as dangerous. And the initial star power he had, you know, is taking a hit just over time. And, you know, he's a wrestler again.
Yeah, the novelty's kind of gone, even though he's a part-time wrestler.
But he does bring the element of danger that no one else brings. Like, so...
Yeah, you get, I mean, because of the, you know, because, you know, Lesnar made his bones as a real, fighter...
As a real man.
Yeah, as one of those two. Like, it brings the element of, you know, this dude, it almost seems like he's flying off the handle at times.
Right.
Which is all a work, but it gets you to spend disbelief a lot.
Yeah. John Cena versus Randy Orton. Oh, what was that? Were those boos I heard?
Oh, hey. Okay. I talked about it with you before. The Royal Rumble crowd in Pittsburgh, where do you rate that out of 10 based off of how good they were / how much they were affecting the show negatively?
Okay. If it was to be, if those are two, you know, they're on the opposite ends of each other, I say it's just right over 1, like a 6 out of 10, they affected it negatively because... Some of the stuff, like, you know, when these crowds go into business for themselves, there's been, like, a trend developing. Everyone's trying to copy off of the post-WrestleMania crowd, which is, you know, one in itself. And there is a way to do that where it doesn't take away from the action. And then other times, I just feel like people are being assholes. But some of the stuff they did the other night was legit. Like, the way they turned on, you know, the Royal Rumble... The way that...
That's fine, but... Like... I watched the... at the beginning, the first half of Orton Cena, I was kind of like, it's bored. It's typical what I thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to be an uninspired match.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second half, there was a certain point I rewatched it. It was after a certain point, they got the crowd to shut the hell up completely because the match was that good the second half to get them to shut up. And they had a couple markout moments. I mean, there were obvious markout moments when, like, you know, like, stuff they were running, some of the stuff was kind of going to happen. But I thought it was like something like a 3, 3.5 out of 5.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the crowd, like, I understand you want Daniel Bryan to, you know, be in the title match or have the championship outright. That's fine. I understand it. I wish the same thing, too. But, like, I have Cena and Orton not done enough for you to not, like, shit on them? Like, have they not done enough over their, like, you know, over decade or 12 years for this company?
I think that's the thing. Like, people are just sick of it. Like, they're sick of being, you know, told what, you know, they're trying to get us to eat the vegetables, basically, right now. We're like, no, we don't want the vegetables.
But do people not understand this is a holdover match? Like, what sense in the world would it make for Daniel Bryan to win the belt and hold on to it and start this run at something that's not a huge payoff show? Like, I understand Royal Rumble is Royal Rumble, but the Royal Rumble is built about, is really built around the number one contender. It's not built around the champion.
That's why the champion usually is on the undercard.
Exactly. So that's why it doesn't really matter as much, unless it's like, you know, what they did with last year with The Rock or whatever. Now, what are your thoughts and opinions of, you know, whether or not he should have went over or it should people be over? Why? That's stupid.
We've talked
care.
About that
whatever.
Before. Check our archives.
Yeah. So it's just, I just, like, it's not like it was a bad, if it was a terrible match from start to finish, or it was a bad match start to finish, or it was meh from start to finish, okay, I can kind of get you, like, going off to do other stuff. But when, like, these crowds now, they're in Cleveland on Monday, and they start doing the JBL Cole Lawler, or Jerry Lawler.
And Del Rio got, like, pissed off.
Yeah, and it's like, hey, man, like, so what do you want us to do? What do you want them to do? It can't be Daniel Bryan for 3 hours out here. I understand, like, you want to be funny, you want to be ironic, sarcastic, whatever, but, like you paid money to come be assholes?
Apparently.
And that's, like, what you do? Like, I mean, don't get me wrong, like, I'm all down, you know me, anybody that's listening to the show knows I'm all down for snark, all of that. But, at
there's
certain
a time
point,
and a place.
It's time and place, and it's time and place inside of there, but, like, to keep it going for that long?
Yeah.
Like, it's like, I don't understand, like, why watch? Why watch? Why pay money to in parking, in concessions, in merchandise, and that whole experience of being there around in a bad seat, you know, in a crowded seat around assholes you never met before to do that? Save your money and watch it somewhere else.
Online?
Yeah, pirate it online.
Yeah.
There's plenty of sites. We use those sites.
Yeah.
We've used those sites.
We shall remain nameless.
Yeah. Can't even get us caught up.
Yeah. But at the same time, they paid, you know, their money. They can, you know, chant for who they want. It's a testament to Daniel Bryan. We haven't seen someone get this hot in 15 years. Like,
agreed, but the thing is, those crowds always fancy themselves as being the smart wrestling fan. If you're a smart wrestling fan, you understand.
You sound like a dumbass.
You understand. Yeah.
Yeah.
You understand how it works. So if you understand how it works, I understand being upset about the Rumble, definitely. Obviously, then that's part of the job of why they did it that way, because they're trying to work you. But Daniel Bryan already had his match.
Yeah.
He's not wrestling that match. Like, if that's the case, why didn't everybody boo them out of Raw every single week after they decided it was going to be Cena in the rematch? Or not a triple threat match, which is what I thought it may have been starting out, because the way they set it up with Orton's coronation after TLC.
What they did was they took him out of the Wyatt family, and everyone was just so happy about that. Like, they figured, you know, that Bryan would end up going over Bray Wyatt, and he got his moment, basically. Like, that slow motion yes chant was like, all right. That was, you know, when all, you know, Austin 3:16. That was that moment.
Yeah,
for
you
him.
Said
like,
we talked about this, and you said it in a phone conversation that it was the biggest moment WWE's had, or feel good moment they've had since he won the title right before Orton cashed in at SummerSlam.
Yeah.
And I agree.
Yeah. And fan, it's just Daniel Bryan has this grip on, like, he has like a vice grip around the internet. He has a vice grip around every single crowd.
Look, anybody that doesn't like Daniel Bryan or root for Daniel Bryan is a sucker. and I wish not know them. You get what I'm saying? Like, this is a lot to be known.
There's a lot of people on the internet that are really just, you know, I don't know if they're trolling, but they're out there. They're trying to sound like Triple A shots.
They're trolls and miserable people. That's what they are. So never mind them.
But the Royal Rumble match, CM Punk and Rollins start off the match and go like 48 minutes each. Truly workhorses in there. Kofi Kingston saves himself again. You know,
twice.
Yes. We talked about Alexander Rusev. I was pretty impressed by him because I remember we saw him in person like a year ago at NXT, and it just looked like the wackest thing under the sun. But when he came out there with that, you know, that spinning wheel kick and, you know, a couple other things, I thought it was pretty tight. The only thing is, I just think the dude need to get some shoes while he wrestles because I ain't down with that barefoot shit. Trying to think, what else? Nash came in the Royal Rumble. Like I said, him and Punk didn't interact or anything, but I think they dropped the ball on that.
But we talked about that, man. Like, WWE wants you to forget what happened last week. You want to bring up something from 2 years ago?
Yeah.
Like, remember, like, we started back watching wrestling probably, like, right after the CM Punk Money in the Bank in 2011. And I remember I would watch every single WrestleMania, and I rewatched WrestleMania 27, you know, a couple years, you know, before, you know, every so often I would go back and watch and rewatch the whole WrestleMania. And I remember the video package they had for Orton and Punk, and the whole thing started was, you know what, I remember when you punted me in the head 2-3 years ago, and I never forgot that, so we got beef. And I thought that was it. Keep in mind, this is back before I even, like, saw the whole CM Punk thing, understood it, so I was thinking to myself, what? That's the best you came up with, bro? That's the best you came up with for a program is you kicked me in the head 3 years ago?
Made me come off the belt.
Like, I'm not, like, nah, bro. Like, maybe you should, you know, be more vengeful and handle that sooner than 3 years later.
I thought the Royal Rumble was a good card.
So did I.
I thought it was a good card overall.
Other than
the glaring omission that was a part of the storyline.
I have two beefs with Royal Rumble. One, they didn't have Daniel Bryan in there. Whether after they decided that he was going to lose that night to Wyatt, which was like, okay, so he's going to lose and he's not going to go into Rumble. I don't care if he ended the Rumble and lost. I wouldn't have cared. But the pop alone for having him come out
at 30,
at any number.
Yeah.
Would have been enough to make that good enough. Like, had he lost, you can run off as an angle, like easy, super easy angle, yeah, whatever. You can have him screwed, whatever. He got thrown out, whether it was the Shield or any of the two Wyatts, anything, it could have worked. But to not have him out there, I thought that, you know, that kind of was a slap in the face to the fans.
Yeah.
That's what I was
The fans about. That were there. Like, because,
yeah.
Like...
Well, no, the fans are there. They shelled out that whatever it was, HD. 60 bucks or HD for it.
Yeah.
Now, and the other thing I had a problem with was there weren't really many surprises for those two things. You know, you always want to get the, you know, a surprise that you weren't clearly expecting. Like, I will say, like,
I'm shocked Jericho didn't come out.
I mean, he's the master troll. So
glad to see Sheamus back too. We didn't mention Sheamus.
Yeah, I mean, but we saw that come from. We saw.
Yeah, we knew.
We were talking about that months ago that he's gonna be at Rumble because, like, he ain't showed up yet. Like, honestly, he tore a labrum in his shoulder, but, like, he's been gone since Money in the Bank.
You need some of that Cena taking, you know, to come back so quick. I don't want to imply nothing. With that said, we gonna wrap up this first segment. We'll be back with more One Nation Radio, where we'll talk about Monday Night Raw, Wyatt's in the Shield, Elimination Chamber, and, you know, part-timers. And in the third segment, we'll be talking about WCW.
Oh, wow.
This is One Nation Radio.
One Nation!
One Nation Sports.
Welcome back to One Nation Radio. We are crashing the plane of Hulkamania.
Hulk Hogan. Yeah.
We are feeling the power of the Warriors within us.
Hey, good question. Seriously. The Ultimate Warrior invent raising the roof?
He was like...
Yes!
Wow.
Did he invent raising the roof? Yes or no?
Yes. Ultimate Warrior invented raising the roof.
so influential.
Yeah.
So influential.
You know.
From Batista.
Tassels.
To Daniel Bryan.
Tassels. Oh, man. Alrighty.
Look, to Santino Marella, he raises the roof, too.
Yeah. Going down to Monday Night Raw, step begins with Triple H. Obviously, he knew there was going to be a large rating, you know. So, you know, he brings himself out there with Stephanie.
You saw how they was hugged up when they walked out?
Yeah.
Oh, I love that so much. I love when they troll everybody. Because, you know, they sitting there.
Did somebody not get what they want?
Yeah, bro, I was trying to text y'all that. It was so funny. So funny. I love them. I love them as the authority. I love them so much. They come, bro. But they came out there all hugged up, knowing that the whole entire like internet world hates their guts right now and thinks that they made this huge gap in decision making. And they come out there and they're like, it was a huge successful night.
Yeah.
And they're all booing that shit. It was so funny.
Yeah. And then Stephanie McMahon, like Dan Bryan comes out there, you know, and the crowd lose their shit,
yep.
Obviously. They start getting into it, you know, verbally, and he's trying to figure out why it's not in the Rumble, you know. And she says, you know, we were looking out for your, you know, your health and well-being. Meanwhile, this company doesn't offer health benefits to its employees. Like,
we're not here to talk about the behind the scenes part of wrestling, sir. We're not here to talk about them being independent contractors, so they have to pay for you know workers' comp.
But they can't wrestle nowhere. But they can't wrestle nowhere else. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that you know, non compete clause, man, non compete.
You know, I just thought that was interesting. Daniel Bryan, you know, retorted the point very well. You know, y'all had me wrestling handicapped matches against the Shield and the Wyatts. You know, where was this concern then?
And when you hear their explanation, I loved it. He said, "Well, we realized that, and we changed. We've seen it in our way, so we decided to leave your ass out the Royal Rumble." How you love that? I thought that was great.
Yeah.
Like, I loved it. I wish it had went longer, but you know, they seem to have somewhat cut it short a bit, but, you know, with the Shield coming out. But
Speaking of the Shield, like, they booked, you know, they started whooping on Daniel Bryan, basically, and Cena and Sheamus come out to save the day.
Yep.
The
Super Friends.
Yeah.
Like, let's not, you know, everybody talk about Super Cena and Super Orton. Let's not act like they ain't no Super Bryan or Super Punk. They were fighting in 3-on-1 handicap matches at pay-per-views. Yes,
yeah.
Punk will beat the Shield by himself. But we're still talking about Super Orton and Super Cena. And
look,
if you want to shit on their pay-per-view match.
Yeah, look, man, I seen CM Punk undo himself from handcuffs before. Like,
I saw that man handcuffed in a TLC match for the belt against The Miz and Del Rio and won.
Yeah.
Super Punk. Yes,
yeah.
That happens. That guy. 400 days with the belt. Super Punk.
Yeah. Is there a point where Triple H's trolling is going too far?
I don't think he ever crossed a particular line. Why do you say that?
Because they took the heat so... They turned the oven up so much where it was...
You think people stopped watching?
They could. Because... I had tweeted, I was like, hey, y'all remember the last time Triple H got everybody so mad they stopped watching? around the year 2000.
Hey, a quick question. Did you see their number?
Haven't seen it yet. But I'm sure
it'll
be
pretty
good.
You think it's low or you think it's high?
I'm sure it's going to be high. Because everybody's going to be tuning in, like, trying to find out what the hell happened.
Yeah, that's my point.
Set up the Wyatt, or you get the six-man and the Wyatts interfere, you know, with it.
It seems to me like the way they're booking the Wyatts is if they're stupid. Like, all three of them are stupid.
Why would you say that?
Okay, before the Cena Orton match, Orton basically goes off and calls them Buddy a reject from
Dynasty.
Dynasty,
that was funny.
And calls them hillbillies and all that. And then he shows up. They show up while Orton is losing the title match.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like they came there for Orton, and then Orton RKOs and wins, and then the lights come back on.
Cena
attacks them, so then they let Orton RKO him and pin him, and then while Orton's coming out the other side of the ring, out the back of the ring,
mm-hmm.
out through the the scores or whatever, scorekeepers thing or whatever, they're glaring down Orton, and then they say, oh, well, Cena's in the ring, and he stole on us, so we're going to whoop his ass.
Yeah.
And they did. So then, at You know, they show up on Monday ready to continue whooping on Cena's ass.
Mm-hmm.
And by whooping on Cena's ass, it costs the Shield, who are also heels.
Yeah, their match.
Their match.
And which has been confirmed, the Shield will be meeting the Wyatt family at Elimination Chamber. The internet got what they wanted.
So basically, they ran this whole thing off of basically the stereotype that hillbillies are stupid. That's basically what they did. They ran it. I mean, not really.
Not to the obvious eye.
Not really, but that's basically like where they're going.
Yeah.
Like, oh, those dumb Southerners.
Oh, man. The Shield versus the Wyatt family, this is probably going to be the Shield's last stand, I would say. And the Wyatt family is probably going to end up winning.
Yeah, they're fraying. The Shield, they're fraying. Yeah. Definitely.
With those guys eliminating each other in the Royal Rumble and all that. But I'm happy that they're going to do this match before, you know, they break the Shield off, because it would have been a travesty for them not to do this.
I mean, how many, what was it, December they teased it?
Before Survivor Series.
Before, it was before Survivor Series when they teased that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you surprised that they, you know, after teasing it, they picked it back up, like, months later?
Yes.
Yeah, me too.
All I want is a War Game style match.
Yeah, same here.
An Elimination Chamber.
I wanted. I mean, you talked about this last year. Yeah, they should have had that match that they had at Elimination Chamber last year in one, because they only had one Elimination Chamber match.
Yeah. Okay, and causing the Shield to match, the John Cena, Sheamus, and Daniel Bryan qualify for the Chamber with
versus
Orton.
Orton, and there's two other guys. I'm assuming one will be Punk, and the other will be maybe. Well, okay, won't be Lesnar now.
I don't think Punk will be in it.
You don't think so?
He's going to end up fighting
Kane. That could very well happen. Or they could throw
both of them in there.
I mean, if I was WWE, I'll probably have Kane, Punk in his own match, and then I have Lesnar, Batista at Elimination Chamber
for the number one contender spot.
Yeah, basically. And then I don't know who the other two to throw into the chamber, but they'll figure it out. There's plenty of guys.
They could end up putting
Del Rio in there.
Yeah.
Like, whatever.
Huh. Who else could they throw in there?
Throw Big Show and Del Rio in there.
Yeah,
whatever.
Big Show or... not Ziggler. He's been buried too much.
They'll figure it out.
Yeah, they'll figure it out. Does Orton get out of the Elimination Chamber with the title?
It's hard to imagine that he will, but, you know, seeing it, it's hard to imagine he will, that means he probably will. The way it seems like they're circling this as if it's going to be Batista, Orton, like, at WrestleMania.
Right.
So, I don't know if I'll have a belt attached to him, but...
You ready for the backlash?
I mean, let me phrase that. I take that back. I mean, if they were to meet up at WrestleMania, it would have to be for the belt, and Orton obviously would go over him, but I mean, there's so much in the air still that I can't we've been talking about this for, you know, podcast after podcast about what WrestleMania what's gonna look like. At this point, I don't really know what it's gonna look like, and that's fine, because it seems like they have the right guys, so I'm good. They're so deep in the car with guys that can handle their business that I'm whatever.
I just don't want them to pop off something with Daniel Bryan and Sheamus in the chamber and then have them boys run at WrestleMania.
You told me that you and Josh both mentioned that, and I don't see
it'd be heartbreaking.
I don't see what that really does for either one of them. Either one of them. Because all this is going to do is make people hate Sheamus even more as a face than he already was from the last run before he got hurt.
Yeah.
Like, people were booing him to death as a face. And what did he do?
Yeah.
And now, Brian is at this point, like, Sheamus is
below.
He's way below. Like, Sheamus is he may be not the top four. He's not a top four tier guy. Whereas, like, Punk, Brian, Cena, and Orton.
He's, like, right
underneath. But he's right underneath that, and it seems like he's on a tier by himself, because you wouldn't say he's below whatever. Because once you went in, remember, we predicted Rumble prediction, like, I was like, both of us said Sheamus would be in the Final Four, correct?
Yeah. Or, No.
Oh, no, you said Reigns instead, but we assumed that Bryan was going to be in it.
Yeah.
But had Bryan not been in it, like, you'd have been like Sheamus and Reigns. Yeah. Like, you said Reigns, I said Sheamus, and now, like, I said I liked your hand in the card better than mine.
Mm-hmm.
But had I known Bryan was going to be in it, my four would have been Sheamus, Reigns, Batista, Punk.
Yeah.
So, like, we know where he stands, especially, but it's like he needs.
I'd like to see a Sheamus and Roman Reigns or a Sheamus and Luke Harper.
But I don't know, especially Reigns. I definitely want to see what happens with Reigns. I mean, but I don't know how long that can last with the whole thing, because I think they're going to turn. If they're going to do anything with him in a big move, it would be to turn
the Shield. He's fighting the Shield.
Yeah. But what else you got, man?
The effect of Batista returning, Brock Lesnar returning. Last year, The Rock returning. You know where I'm going with this.
Uh-huh. Sounds like I know.
How long... Okay, let me just say this. If WCW didn't exist in the 90s, right?
Uh-huh.
And WWE moved forward, all that talent, you know, Macho Man was gone, Hogan was gone, all those guys. If they would have brought Hulk Hogan back in 1998 to win the Royal Rumble... over Stone Cold Steve Austin, what the hell would have been of WWE?
Well, is that the right comparison, saying Hulk Hogan? Because Hulk Hogan is The Rock. Wouldn't you say like Batista is more like...
If Ultimate Warrior came back.
I think
it's
Ultimate Warrior.
Yeah.
After everybody's been shitting on him for years, or mad at him for years.
Yeah.
It wouldn't have went over well, obviously.
Yeah.
I mean,
and I feel like that's the equivalent of what just happened.
We talked about this before on in separate occasions, but never on a podcast, about how it's like they got to find the right balance on trying to figure out what they're going to do with these part-time guys coming in and have so many part-time guys when there's only so many spots for guys, and trying to build up, you know, get WrestleMania moments for, you know, the guys that are actually working the schedule full-time.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of people way smarter than me, and also way more about wrestling and the ins and outs than I do, and also how to market. But mm-hmm. It just seems weird that, you know, it feels wrong for one to see all these dudes come out, bust their ass, and then get the boot when it's money time, it's go time. At the same time, I also realize that if you want to, like, would I rather see Christian or would I rather see The Rock wrestle? No brainer, I'd rather see The Rock wrestle.
Yeah.
Would I rather see The Undertaker wrestle or
Antonio Cesaro?
Yeah, like, you know, the guy that's clearly a great worker, but, I mean, and I'm talking about for the casual fan.
Mm.
Then, like, you obviously, like, you're going with the guy that's, you know, built a name over all these years, a brand name, and as far as, you know, wrestling people go.
It is so, really the great debate in wrestling.
So, like, but the same thing is, you noticed how that's kind of what was that was one of the huge factors that was the doing in of WCW.
Mm-hmm.
But
we've implied WWE doing a lot of WCW like things, which we'll get to.
You mentioned, I mean, I won't leave it off later, but you mentioned, like, yeah, they're okay, so who are going to be their Hall of Famers and guys that come back and be the part timers 5, 10 years from now?
Yeah,
like, who, like, is Cena going to have to come back for WrestleMania 40?
Yeah,
is Orton going to come back for WrestleMania 38, you know what I'm saying? And it's interesting, and, like,
they're gonna run out of guys,
but at the same time, it seems like no matter what they do, they'll never run out of guys. Because even when those guys died off, they, like, you know how when I start watching wrestling,
they are in a talent boom right now.
Yeah, like, when I start watching wrestling, I look up and find out, when, you know, you keep tabs on the stuff, kind of, sort of, you find out, wait, Edge is a 7-time champion. My Hardy has the belt now.
Yeah.
I was like, Jeff Hardy has the belt now.
Yeah.
So it seems like if, regardless of what happens, they'll figure it out. Mm-hmm. They're like, they're playing it by ear. Like, hey man, we got these guys' name, and they'll be more marketable than, or they're more household names and getting people to buy than this person. we'll go with it, and whatever, we'll build them up eventually. We'll build up no other guys eventually. We'll get to it, but eventually they're gonna have to get around to it. Yeah. And like it's a bad time to be a top tier mid card guy in WWE right now.
Del Rio,
because
like,
you look,
bless his heart. I don't know what he's doing at WrestleMania.
Yeah, if you're below Sheamus, and you're not young. We talked about this before.
Yeah.
If you're not one of those guys that came up from NXT in the last 2 years, and you've been around for like 5 years, if you're Miz, you're in trouble.
If you're Jack Swagger, you're in trouble. Kofi Kingston?
He has a role of being the guy that's a great wrestler and has a great moveset and has a great look, but he's just not, he's swaggerless, so they'll keep him around. If you're like R-Truth, you're going to be in trouble.
You're going to be in trouble. You're going to be done.
Yeah,
Brutus Clay, you're gonna be done.
Yeah, it's gonna be a lot of trouble because you got Reigns, you got Langston, you got the other two Shield guys. They figured out like the only guy they haven't hit on in like the last 2 years really has been Fandango.
Yeah,
and I mean it's not like he can't wrestle his ass off because he can.
Yeah,
or not wrestle his ass off, but he's clearly a good wrestler. So. Yeah. Like they haven't missed from out of their youth thing, and I don't know how much of that is, should be like commend Triple H for, because you know he's been putting all this.
Oh no, we can't ever give Triple H any credit. Like not on the internet. That's not allowed, sir.
But it's weird that he's like the.
Just kidding, by the way.
It's almost like he's the guy that like came in. He's coming in here and he's like rearranging everything.
We need to start building the future.
And he's building for the future, but it's at the cost of. It's sort of almost like at the cost of right now. And the way to cover that up is like, all right, well, we got all these guys that are that we don't know if they can make money. So what we'll do is we're bringing these guys that made money for us 5 years ago.
Yeah.
6 years ago. And like, there's only so
and
much.
And all
long,
my homeboys.
There's only so much. Yeah, that too. It's only so much longer that can keep up working. So we'll see. Like this Reigns thing definitely has to take off for them, and I think it will.
I don't know if you got that thing I sent you. Like Meltzer was saying that WWE sees Roman Reigns the heir apparent to John Cena.
Well, bro, I was gonna say this. I thought this is funny. Like, who's the last guy in wrestling to look that mean and have like a luxurious hair, like he like almost like a chick's hair?
like Pocahontas.
It's Diesel?
It could be Diesel. It could be. Well, Shawn Michaels had long hair.
Look mean, stone face. Meanwhile, hair long hair don't care. I just think it's funny.
Yeah.
Of glorious mane,
like glorious long hair. Triple H. I mean,
yeah,
he looked like a bad motherfucker at times.
Yeah,
but
I mean, his hair, like, whatever. We're talking about hair. That's weird. Let's move on.
That's gonna wrap up our second segment. We're gonna be coming back talking about a topic near and dear to our hearts. WCW. We're fans. James is how old are you, James?
Damn, bro.
Yeah.
No, well, I'm 26.
Yeah, I'm 24, and we grew up, watching the Monday Night Wars as adolescents, and we've gained different perspectives now on it. I read a book a couple years ago called The Death of WCW, and always, I actually repurchased the book because I had the PDF of it, and I just, passed it to James for the first time, and, we'll be back, so come on back. And go ahead, press pause, get yourself a drink, cool down, Zephyr Hills,
woo,
sweating, and we'll be back. This is One Nation Radio.
One Nation.
One Nation Sports.
And welcome back to One Nation Radio.
Hey man, whose music is this?
This is old Chris Jericho music, man.
Oh Lord, WCW Chris Jericho.
Yeah, I had to pull some out of the archives,
Wow.
If we was gonna talk about WCW, that's dead and gone, some music we'll probably never hear again.
I'm not gonna be too sad or tore up days. I'll never hear this again. So whatever.
I used to know.
I was a Mark, so I wasn't about that Chris Jericho life.
I was always about that Jericho life.
And that man was out there fighting Rey Mysterio, so that man was in the way. He's in the way. He needed to move around. He had to move around. Straight up.
Move around for what, Jan?
Move around for the South. Yeah. I would say just like Pimp C said it. When I see Chris Jericho in the streets, his dime is fake. They clotted, chipped up. Shit don't look right. Shit ain't right. You got me out here quoting the pimp.
Yeah. Rest in peace.
Oh, Lord. Yeah. WCW or Pimp C?
Both of them. Okay. WCW, we've talked about it in passing. We've never really dedicated a full show or a full segment to it. With me purchasing this book and, you know, I just let you look through it a little bit, couldn't get you to put it down for a second just because it's so fascinating.
Well,
see, they, like,
there's so much stuff I forgot about, like, oh, yeah, that was a bad idea. Oh, yeah, that was a bad idea. Oh, yeah, that was terrible. So, it's just, look at it, oh yeah, it's chronicling all of the stuff, you know, in little spark pieces, like, you know, seeing things here and there, like, obviously, like, WWE, even nowadays, like, oh, well, not even nowadays, they'll botch stuff because, you know, there's only, you can't get everything right, it's impossible,
right.
It's hard enough, like, I was saying to you how people don't realize how hard it is to be Vince McMahon or somebody in creative, like, somebody that's responsible for creative or booking, to be... If you're WWE, like, for essentially, like, you're the showrunner for Breaking Bad, except Breaking Bad involved is live. It's live, and it's year-round, and there's no season breaks.
Yeah.
And there's way more characters. So, and people don't understand.
And a live audience.
Yeah. And they can do whatever they want to now, especially nowadays. So, people don't take it into consideration. But when I was reading through the book, I was like, yeah, that was a bad idea. Like... Yeah, because you don't think Rey Mysterio can be marketable. So with the mask, are you taking the mask off? Meanwhile, he's pulling double duty with another promotion down. You know, and it's causing trouble for him downstairs. And you know, there've been shoot promos that Cornette has talked about how, you know, I get a guy, I'm sending him to another area to work, and he comes back and his hair's cut off.
Yeah.
It's like, well, because they wanted to see what it looked like. But you could have put, like, a wig cap on him, and two, like, you didn't even tell me, so now I can't even, like, make any money on it. I can't make it a hair match or nothing. Like, you just screwed me out of it. Same thing that happened with, like, Ray. So there's a bunch of stuff, like, oh, yeah, like, you know, they mentioned the Flair-Hogan match, where it's the first blood match. Flair starts bleeding because he put him to barbed wire. They act like it never happened. Flair, you know, and all of a sudden, at the end of it, Flair pins him in a first blood match.
Also, Starrcade 97, the much anticipated year long Hogan versus Sting match,
and it was
completely botched
at the end. Yeah,
and Bret Hart got involved into it, which was the first misuse of Bret Hart that would just happen. You know, there I can only think of two things.
Bad luck, Bret.
Yeah, I can only think of two things in WCW that were worth a damn with Bret Hart is when he fought Benoit in that tribute match, which was super raw, and then that whole him and Goldberg initial thing, like, where he speared him and he had the plate on his stomach and knocked Goldberg out, and they were in Canada.
Okay.
Bret Hart didn't get, like, we talk about CM Punk giving no fucks, like, Bret Hart was clearly on that give no fuck shit at WCW, like, tell us why WCW should have won, James.
Okay, me and you talk about this. Well, it's funny. Out of all the conversations we have about wrestling, it seems that we always circle back to two major topics. We always talk about, and they pretty much match each other, they are related. One is basically 1997 and how it went for WWE as far as what they had and what they didn't know they had. As in 1997 is happening, Bret Hart's leaving. They have Undertaker, they have Shawn Michaels, they have, and those are the three biggest guys, obviously. Shawn's leaving in November.
Brett's leaving in November.
I'm sorry, yeah, Brett, I'm sorry. Brett's leaving, and they have Austin, they have The Rock, they have Mankind,
Triple H,
L in the Fold, but they don't know that those guys are going to be those guys eventually.
Yeah.
So they're, basically the tipping point is Austin 316. To WrestleMania 14.
Yeah.
But if that doesn't happen, we never find that out because...
WCW owns all this shit.
Yeah, because we're talking about Atlanta. We're not talking about Madison Square Garden or Sanford.
Right.
And the other part about that is how did WCW lose because of the overwhelming mismatch in talent. And I always say to you, they had Macho Man, they had Nash, they had Hall, they had Flair, they had Hogan, they had cups of coffee with Piper and Warrior.
Yep. They had Benoit,
Jericho, Malenko, Juventud Guerrero, Mysterio,
Dragon,
Parker,
Psychosis. Everybody.
Yeah, and then besides that, they also had other guys that could also wrestle pretty well that were out there, like whether it was Steiner
or Booker T.
They're
homegrown guys.
Yeah, and Sting. Luger, we wouldn't even mention Sting. And Luger. So it's like they had overwhelming. For every guy that they could have had, or WWE had.
They had four guys to match
in talent as far as, oh, this guy is good/great. Oh, yeah, we have three of those guys or four of those guys as far as the depth of the roster.
Right.
And those are two things. Like, how in the hell did he lose? It makes no sense. And then you read a book like this and it's like,
everything becomes perfectly clear.
It makes more and more sense because obviously this was, you know, the internet age had started, but with dial up. It wasn't as prevalent to where the IWC is not nearly what it is. Or, you know, just the community of the internet in general isn't even a tenth
of what it is now.
Like, back then, like, it was just so small. Like, I remember, I talked to you about this before when rewatching Jericho's debut, the Y2J thing on Rock. And you see Jericho signs in there. And when I was a kid, had I seen that, I wasn't observant of that, but I've been like, how in the hell did they know it was actually Jericho?
Well, did they pass out signs?
Well, they knew that
show?
Because of the internet, but like, I'm not on my AOL talking about, 5 minutes trying to log in, check to see if I've got mail, and then like go trying to find whatever hole in the wall form is. The internet is only like, the internet back then was only the size of like a postage stamp compared to what it looks like now, and like find that. And like, it's just weird.
The overwhelming talent they had and the egos. One quote I heard, I forgot who said this to describe it. The one thing WCW didn't have was Vince McMahon. And if they would have, imagine if Vince McMahon had all access to all that at one time.
Well, we talked about this before as far as things like WWE or WWF. I'm sorry, WWF is while they were losing the battle, they were doing certain things. They were beating them everywhere except the talent. And you know me, like when it comes to sports or anything in general, talent usually wins out. Keep in mind, this sports entertainment is a sport, so you know obviously that really didn't matter much because they
like had, the thing is like he had for all the talent WCW had. They had 3 hours to do whatever they were going to do with it. So there were going to be guys that weren't happy. WWE had elite talent, but there wasn't as much space to fill, so they could just use those guys and build each of their stories.
That's true. Would you rather see The Undertaker and see if like this whole Kane thing happening? Or would you rather, Paul Bearer basically holding the stick in that man up for what turned out to be Kane as blackmail? Or would you rather see, I don't know,
20 guys in the ring during the NWO promo?
Yeah. Talking about how, you know,
everything is too sweet.
We're talking about how everything's too sweet and how, like, Flair and all those guys are basically fat cast. Meanwhile, like, you were the guys that secured guaranteed contracts.
Yeah.
For everyone. I mean,
they tried to just bury Flair to death. Like, if like you read this whole book,
there was so much backstabbing amongst all those elite guys. Period, and like it seemed like, and they all turned on each other, and that's the thing that like killed them. Like, hey man, like you've been around long enough. Whether it was Flair, Savage, Hogan,
Nash,
they all been long enough to know like not everybody can run with it, and you know. We talk about how, you know, you and Josh may not have liked, you know, necessarily the in-ring ability of Goldberg or, you know, he's not as stiff as y'all think he is or y'all remember him to be if y'all rewatch some of his matches. But he was literally the hottest thing going in 1998 that wasn't named Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Right.
And 1 year later, a year and a half later, what did that mean? What did that do for them? It did them nothing.
the thing with Goldberg, the finger poke of doom was supposed to be the beginning of a storyline that was ruined because Goldberg got injured. He was supposed to run back through the entire NWO and get back to Hogan again. Like, because after Hogan got the belt, like, it was a whole thing with the cattle prod. Understandable, but that nuclear heat, you just can't play with. And then, you know, Bischoff giving away results. Oh, Mick Foley's about to win the title. Yeah, click.
And it's like, okay, I don't get some of the stuff they did. I mean, and some of the stuff was like accident, but for them to go black on the main event of a pay-per-view.
Yeah, there's just no, they had, no one knew who was in charge.
That would never happen. Like, to me, bro, that, like, we complain, or we complain about when pay-per-views in at 10, at like 10:40.
Yeah.
Or then it's like, well, what, you want to go over? Yeah. You want to go black? Like, I'm pretty sure Vince is in everyone's ear at all the time. That's why they cut the one match at right before.
Yeah.
At the last WrestleMania, because they're like, that diva/man match, whatever they call it, intergender match, whatever. I'm probably saying something that sounds inappropriate, but whatever. When they cut it, because we refuse to go over. We cannot have that happen to us because people will be pissed. They'll think their kid went out. They want refunds. Didn't they give them refunds or no?
Yes. No. I think they gave refunds and then aired the match for free the next night.
See what I'm saying? Like, yeah. That's a clusterfuck. Like, that's where promotions make their money, is pay-per-view. Like, the most of their money.
Right.
Like, I remember reading an article about how it costs Raw X amount of money, like something like $200,000. Mm-hmm. And then to put on, it makes like $200,000, you know, out of every Raw, based off of, like, you know, what they're doing. And then they'll make $800,000 off of, in profit. Same thing, you know, $200,000 and $800,000 off profit,
right,
from pay per view, because it costs about the same amount of money, plus you know better, you know, new stage stuff,
right?
But the when people buy in, that's when they make their money. So for that to happen, then you have to show that back out. Like, I don't want to say that's a kneel you over blow, but that hurts. I don't care. Like, yeah. Especially at that point when, you know, they get to the point where it leads down to, oh, they're losing $62 million, as you told me.
Yes. $62 million in the year 2000, they lost after losing $15 million in 1999.
Which is, in 2000, nowadays, I looked it up in like an escalation generator, that's now worth, like, $62 million is now worth over $82.5 million. $81.5
million. Unbelievable.
Now.
Unbelievable. That's like, the level of fucking up you have to do, like... All right, you remember watching Casino, right?
Yeah.
Remember at the end of the movie, Joe Pesci was like, oh, yeah, they gave us everything, and we fucked it all up. Like, that was WCW. Like, they had everything, and then, like, that's the last time they'll ever give them something like that. Like, those kind of guys, you know...
I still come back to, I don't understand why. I mean, and they, you know, everybody kills Russo about all the swerves and everything.
Everything was dead before Vince Russo showed up. Like,
I understand they need
it to. It was salvageable.
But I understand, like, okay, they need to get edgier, because what was one of the things that one of the factors they had with WWE, you know, turning the tables on them. Keep saying WWF back then was them turning the tables on them, was that they had racier storylines. Meanwhile, like,
WCW was a family-oriented program.
Yeah, I mean, keep in mind, in that day and age, in that time, you had certain things happen. Like, you had South Park, you know, where you have, like, this cartoon of kids cussing and getting all types of debauchery situations. And you also have, like, someone like a rapper like Eminem, who's, like, this huge man culture juggernaut, who's also basically, like, South Park on wax.
Right.
Or not on wax, on tape, or on disc, whatever you want to call it. And the goals coincide with that. Like, I always feel like, because of my age, like, my coming of age, like, those are the three things that, like, for me in the pop culture sense, like, that was what, like, showed me, like, the adult side of life before I was necessarily ready for it.
Mm.
And, I mean, although, like, most kids at our age, they kind of will say this sort of the same thing. Like, those are certain things. Like, I mean, maybe that's not exactly the same way they'll have it as me, but those were three huge things for it, for the culture.
the culture, as I like to call it.
Then, just the misuse of money for guys they could have taken care of, like Jericho, like Eddie Guerrero. You know, they didn't want to pay those guys when it came time to re-up, but they'll bring in Dennis Rodman to pop a rating. They'll shell out money for Jay Leno. They had Macho Man's brother, the one that's causing all the issues with him going in the Hall of Fame, Lanny Poffo. They had him sign to a 3-year, $150,000 deal.
What was Lenny's gimmick? What I thought.
He never wrestled a match for WCW.
Hey, man.
And he was making $150,000, but we couldn't pay Chris Jericho.
Hey, all I'll say is this.
They were paying...
I wish I was Lenny Poffo, because I would like to get that sort of deal to where I'd rather be overpaid and overrated, or underrated. So I'm looking for one of those deals. So anybody want to hit me up, go and get a tag. Anybody want to hit James Boyd, hit me up at JamesBoyd@ONR. James, we got what you're looking for. Here's his cash. Try your best. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. You know, I forever appreciate that for all you podcast listeners. So I understand how you think it's misguided, but I'm trying to get that Rashard Lewis deal. I'm trying to get I'm trying to get that Gilbert Arenas deal.
Yeah,
I'm always looking for that.
Andrew Bynum.
Yeah. Same thing. $12 million. You know. Ain't play.
You know, they signed Master P, you know, to show up, you know, they get those guys, you know, hootie hoo out there.
They signed
his bodyguard Swole for $400,000 bro.
Shout out to Swole.
$400,000.
Shout out to Swole, man. He did it. He came up. Yeah, he might.
We couldn't pay Chris Benoit.
Back then, if I remember correctly, this was 99, right?
Yeah.
You gotta keep in mind. What was Master P doing in 1998?
It was the tank.
What was he doing outside of music that day?
Basketball.
That man was. Remember, he was Ricky Williams' agent. That man was an agent back then. That man was out there swindling Turner for deals. He's swindling Bischoff.
Yeah.
And he was like, "Yeah, man, he was talking about my dog."
He was talking about that cash. Like he said, "I could sell out the Superdome off my name alone," and then only like 15,000 people showed up.
Yeah,
or something like that.
Yeah, keep in mind, people that loved P back then, like back then in that area, they weren't exactly the type that could, you know, afford to buy those tickets.
Yeah.
And
then they had him going against the West Texas Rednecks, you know, who became Kurt Hennig.
Rapid's crap.
Yeah,
they turned face off that, didn't they?
They were going to, but then like anything else in WCW that began to get over, they killed it. Like, oh, we don't want anything to do with that. WCW was a...
I vaguely remember Rapid's Crack, vaguely. I'm going to have to YouTube that up.
Like, how many guys did they let get away? They let Austin get
away.
Who
didn't they let get away?
Yeah, they let Austin get away.
Triple H
get away.
Foley.
Jericho, Benoit, Malenko, Guerrero, Saturn.
Mysterio.
Mysterio was after.
Okay.
Booker T was after. But they just misused so many guys. Just because WCW, they figured, you know, what made them successful, and they never, ever changed. The same guys on top were there in the early 90s.
The guys that were on top and should have been on top back in 1993 when they started up, like, getting Hogan, bringing Flair back.
They were still the same.
Even after 94, or 95 or 94, whenever. Like, what was the first episode of Nitro, 95?
Yes.
95 when they brought Luger back.
Brian Pillman.
They had Sting, whatever. Those guys were those guys at that time, and it made perfect sense because they were so huge at that time. But 5 years later, they can't still be the guy. Like, and that's one of the things that, like we said earlier, the issue with having these part-timers come back and take these huge spots in WrestleMania. Like, at some point, like, these dudes, you're not giving time for the other guys to become those guys that you're telling to come back part-time.
Right.
And eventually, that's going to wear off. Those guys have become 50, and they can't wrestle...
Worth a damn
anymore. And then you're going to look back and be like, all right, well, who can we bring back in 5 years? And it's like, oh, yeah, or who can we bring back in 10 years? Oh, we'll bring back,
you don't have anyone.
Cena doesn't want to do it. Orton doesn't want to do it. Daniel Bryan doesn't want to do it. Oh, I guess we'll bring back
Del Rio.
And people will look at us with a screw face. So
imagine how bad the IWC is going to be in like 10 years.
Oh my god. They're not going to enjoy anything.
Like, it's going to be real bad.
Like, that's one thing about the IWC. Like, they don't... Or the IWC, the consistent thought process of the IWC. It seems like... Well, I mean, which is pretty much anything with the internet. Like, when they critique anything, it's typically...
To the extreme.
It's typically negative. Which, is, I mean, it comes with the territory of, you know, anything internet-wise. Because there's no consensus appeal or consensus...
And they have appeal
of anything.
They have the safety of their keyboard to
or
type
praise.
On.
So, well, I mean, that too, you have people being... I mean, there's assholes in the internet all together when it comes to that kind of thing.
Right.
Personal attacks. That's why we have cyberbullying being these campaign things going these days. Like, back in my day, I'm old. Like,
turn the computer off, son.
Yeah, like, I mean, that's one thing I always found was so interesting about this. Like, you can just, you know, not go on Facebook. I mean, maybe it's too hard, difficult, or you could block these people, but whatever. I forgot my point. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Rich. What else you got?
WCW Roll Wild, their annual outdoor pay-per-view. They never made a dime off of it. They held it in Sturgis, South Dakota,
mm-hmm.
and they just, you know...
All
those bikes got in for free. They... weren't really doing great pay-per-view numbers, and, you know, it was, like, in the middle of nowhere, just because Eric Bischoff liked to ride motorcycles.
But that's the one thing that, like, WCW, like, they always went to these out-of-nowhere places. Me and you have conned about that.
Yes.
Like, whether it's, like,
Palmetto, Florida.
Florida, or it's, like, freaking...
Mobile, Alabama.
Mobile, Alabama's not a small place, but, like, they are always in these, funny. Like, ridiculous, like... Like, these places that are so small...
The places that TNA wrestles right now.
Like, the places that are so small, like, you think of them almost as, like, college cities.
Yeah.
But they're not, because there's no, like, major campus on there, but they're just... But
Gainesville,
like,
Florida!
Yeah, like, Gainesville, Florida without University of Florida there. Like, oh, yeah, there's 100,000... Oh, yeah, there's, like, 200,000 people there. There's not... Like, what?
Yeah.
Like... Oh, yeah, you know, like, we're going all through, like, West Virginia. Like, no, not against West Virginia, but, like, it's a small state. It's not really, like, a huge, you know, city there. It's always weird to see that. Like, they'd be, like, Tupelo, Mississippi.
Yep.
Like,
Tupelo. The Tupelo Coliseum.
I don't understand.
Yeah, it was rough, man.
I understand, like, they were still, like, kind of, sort of in their... Like
territory?
Both, yeah, sort of kind of in their territory, and so was WWE to an extent, but...
Oh, yeah, because they got... WWE used to hit Dave
small towns. North places, yeah, that's true.
Bushkill, Pennsylvania. Like,
yeah.
Shit like that.
Yeah, yeah. But I don't
what
know.
What up, Bushkill?
You know?
All 10 of y'all?
Yeah, he gonna shoot... He gonna talk about, yeah, what's up to these people you don't talk down on. Same, I did the same exact thing, too. So I ain't trying to knock you, but it's funny... it's painful to see that this didn't work out the way it should have. Because maybe not necessarily because of one didn't win or one lost. It's the fact that, like, there's only one now.
Yeah.
And
the one is, like, I don't want to say they're...
The one has no competition, so like, it can rest on its laurels.
And they can, like, end up as this if they, like...
Here's the thing. There's always going to be a show. There's always going to be a promotion for wrestling on a cable network or mm-hmm. whatever, because on TV anyway, because there's enough popularity for it to always be there.
Yeah.
And you get the most talent there, it'll work. Now, my whole thing is, like... WWE is not just a destination now.
Yeah.
Like, that's the destination. Like, I was they talk, like, for example, when you talk about, like, college coaches or whatever, how they always jump around, they go to these schools, and there are certain schools that are typically, like, for football or basketball, they're typically schools where they're hot, they get coaches' names hot, and then they leave the school.
Yeah.
Like, Louisville is that kind of school. Like, you get, oh, Louisville's hot, all right. Petrino will leave, Charlie Strong will leave,
mm-hmm.
that sort of thing, eventually. And, like, because everybody, the thought process, everybody that gets in a particular freshman always has a job in mind that they want. Like, typically,
like whether it was like Al going at Miami, his, you know, he wanted to go to Penn State this year. Penn State, you know, they interviewed Penn State and decided to take James Franklin. Now, same thing with like wrestlers now. Like, there's no, okay, I grew up in, I don't know, New Hampshire. Right. I'm this guy, I got hired, let's say Triple H. Yeah. Oh, I'm this guy that grew up watching Bruno. I grew up, you know, watching Backlund. And now I'm a wrestler and I got hired by WCW. Now, either you can make your name for yourself or you can get canned or whatever happens to you. Obviously, that's how it goes in this business. And then you end up...
I like to end this business, too, since you're talking about Triple H.
Yeah, and you can end up eventually going to where you always figure you eventually belong and want to be in WWF.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's like, is WWF... Is the Indies or WWF? I'm sorry, WWE now.
You go to so TNA, like, I don't know like how much longer that's going to be out.
You can be TNA or Ring of Honor, like, obviously, you know, in any circuit, you know, people make their money, whatever.
A lot of guys actually, you know, make it decent.
Go overseas, do what you got to do, make your money, that's fine. But, like, if you're American aspiring professional wrestler,
you want to be in WWE.
There's only one job you want to be. You want to become a WWE superstar.
Yep.
And if not, then, like, I don't know what's wrong with you. Like, you know, I want to be a professional wrestler and I want to tour the Indies. What kind of shit is that? Like, I don't ever want to meet you. I don't. There's something wrong with you.
That's almost like an underground rapper, almost like or mixtape rapper. Like.
Nah, you know what? That's more like I'm
for the culture.
I'm an aspiring basketball player and I want to play college ball, but I don't want to go to the NBA. I want to be a college player, but I never want to go to the NBA. Kind of shit is that? Get out of here. Now I want to go. I never went to NBA. I just want to tour overseas. Like, I want to play for like Barca. I want to do that. I don't want to play in the NBA. No. That's not worth
that,
it.
Man.
Yeah, right.
if you guys haven't ever checked this book out, I know they haven't cut me a check or anything, but it's just interesting. Anybody that's ever, you know, been a fan of wrestling, like, WCW story is like paramount to the history of the sport. There's a lot of good that went on. There's a lot of bad, and it's something I hope, you know, WWE doesn't begin to repeat some of these mistakes, because slowly things become, you know, mighty WCW-ish, and we've seen this movie before.
Well, I mean, at this point now, like, they're almost. I mean, I don't want to say this because it's fake sports, but they're pretty much unbeatable. Like, if they collapse, all of pro wrestling collapse.
Yeah.
Collapses.
Yep.
In North America, anyway.
Yeah, we're...
And, like, they're the iPod.
Right.
Like, people talk about, you know, MP3 players. Like, do you want an MP3 player or do you want an iPod? I know the same thing, but the brand name is so overwhelming that it's the same thing. In fact, it's like similar to do you want an Android or do you want an iPhone? And, you know, before Android and Samsung blew up, or Samsung blew up with, you know, being the basically like the trade or not trademark, but basically being like the number one phone for Android. It was pretty much you want an iPhone or you want another one of those, any other of those phones, and I guess they're Android, whatever. So. That kind of stuff happens, and we talked about, for example, you've seen American Gangster.
Yeah.
Blue Magic. WWE is Blue Magic.
It's like
a brand. It's like Pepsi. They stand behind it. Vince McMahon stands behind it. He guarantees it.
Yeah.
Now, you can come out there and claim it's something else or whatever, but don't let me catch you.
Yeah.
You can call it, you can choke the motherfucker down.
You can call
down,
it pro wrestling.
You can call whatever but don't let me catch you. Don't let me catch you calling it something else.
And that's what WCW... Ooh, my fault. WCW basically called it something else for all those years and, you know, took the challenge of McMahon the same way McMahon took the challenge to all those old-school promoters. And McMahon got caught off guard by it, but...
To the point to where he should have lost.
Yeah.
He didn't have the money... He didn't have the money to keep up with Ted Turner.
It looked like... Think of Joe Frazier versus Muhammad Ali in the first fight. WCW knocked him on the ground, but imagine Ali coming back with a knockout after that round in round 15. That's what happened with WWE.
They're on dire straits. Like, they were on their deathbed, and they rose up and won.
You know.
And now they'll never have, and no, I mean, I can't imagine. Can you imagine somebody, like another promotion ever getting big enough to challenge them? I can't imagine that.
They would have to have serious investors and serious minds for the business and talent.
But who's putting that kind of, who in their right mind that makes that much, that's making that much money would finance a wrestling show?
Maybe a pro athlete that really, really loves it and that is super rich.
What pro athlete has enough money to keep up with McMahon? Like, to dig into their own pockets and put
in
that
much
money? Well,
they can put a team together. Like, I mean, if Jay-Z wanted to do it, he could. But,
You think Jay-Z gives a fuck about
Jay-Z,
pro wrestling?
I'm saying, someone with Jay-Z's, like,
I hear you're
yeah.
saying. One of those, like, billionaires that nobody's, that nobody knows, actually.
Yeah.
It's like, or recluse.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, okay, cool.
But, with that being said, McMahon already beat a billionaire. So, do with that what you want.
Yeah, I understand that. Like, he beat a billionaire, he can beat him again, but it's just weird that, like, this is, like, it's so hard to imagine him even having a rivalry ever again after what happened because of where the next tier is. The next tier is so down below, like...
Oh, my God. TNA, I can't do it.
Like, to me, it's almost as if WWE is Peyton Manning, and TNA and everything else is like
Andy
Trent
Dalton.
Dilfer.
Oh, well.
Like, not like y'all playing the same sport, but not really. Like, no, bro. Like, I'm doing this whole mastery. Like, okay, it's like LeBron and Lance Stevenson. Like, yeah, this is mastery and like a chessboard, and this is how.
No,
I've
man,
done it.
You can't be disrespecting Lance like that. Man, comparing him to TNA,
Stevenson just did a YouTube video begging for all star.
Deshaun Stevenson, say that.
Okay, Deshaun Stevenson, yeah. Same thing. Like it's like nah.
Chris
Bosh
did one of those videos begging for all star votes.
Yeah, and
a couple years ago.
And look at the amount of and you see how much we respect him in these streets.
Oh man!
So it's just He fought one huge fight in the 90s, and he won. And
but if you run that shit back, we ran that shit back 100 times. Shit.
Yeah, we talked about this before. They ran it back 100 times. They don't win 50. They don't. Like it's so much. Like one thing, but like if Austin Theory 16, Austin Train never runs off. Like if this man never gets involved physically and turns into this authoritative figure. That is everything that we hate about the quote-unquote business, then, like, Hitman put his own ass on the line literally to save his company, and it worked out. Like, he took all the masks from Austin, got beer thrown on him. Like, you think this man even drinks beer?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Do you think this man
I know for a fact he drinks beer. Like, all these books, like,
okay.
I know for
okay.
a fact.
Okay,
yeah.
Cause, you know.
And then Undertaker and Kane storyline, and then, you know, Shawn Michaels and DX and Nation Rock. That many once in a lifetime guys, as hot as they were, production value, superior writing.
They turned their guys that they had no idea was going to work, and all of them, like, they hit so many home runs that it's like, you may know that they hit home runs at a level that you weren't expecting. Like, they didn't know Triple H would turn Triple H. Yeah, they didn't know Mankind would turn into Mankind. Like, we talked about this. Like, none of those guys that became those guys in 98 and 99 and 2000, they were not ready in 97.
Yeah. But...
With the exception of Austin.
Yeah.
But they didn't know Austin would turn into this.
Yeah. They couldn't have.
Or that. Not saying it's this. It's weird. It's still one of the things I'll talk about to this day. Like, I wish there were more people around it. I wish I get more insights in this. Like, I'm going to, like, when you're done with that book, I want to, like, skim through that one.
Right. If you guys want to talk about WCW with us, hit us up on Twitter. I've been talking to
WWE Network.
Yes, WWE Network.
Like, WWE Network, the one thing that they showed last night is they're having, you know, original content, and this is not necessarily original content, but they're going to show, like, the Monday Night Wars.
Yeah.
One huge selling point for any, you know, guy that considered himself like a serious wrestling fan, especially our age, was Monday Night Wars and how things turned. And I'm dying to like skim through this stuff to read, like to go through and see, like, this is what was going side by side at that time, and
yes,
this is why, this is where it all turned up. Because I mean, we have general ideas, but like, they had to be more than just,
like, I'm gonna be pulling this book out and then looking up the corresponding episode, like,
exactly,
that it comes from. Be like, wow.
He pulled up the book, by the way. You know,
yeah,
it's,
I held it
it's
up.
An audio medium, not a visual one.
You
so
know, they, look, they felt it. You know, they knew. But like I was saying before, if you guys want to contact us on Twitter to further talk about WCW or anything else, you can. I've been getting a lot of feedback on our pages, and appreciate you guys for interacting with us. I'm checking out the numbers. We actually, James, we do have listeners. Like,
oh, yeah?
It, like, it's confirmed.
We're not just talking to ourselves.
We're not just talking to ourselves. Like, for a long, long time, I was holding out hope, and I was just checking out the numbers. We were,
You just want to straight out. I felt like we was on a straight out and just yelling for help, and nobody could hear us. Apparently, there's, you know, some people around.
Yeah.
Go figure.
What's up? If you, if y'all, each of y'all could just tell two people, we'll be all right.
like it's a pyramid scheme?
Yeah. Like, you know, this ain't nothing but a Ponzi scheme, you know? Or the trapezoid.
no, the trapezoid!
You know, busting loose, basically.
Oh, my
God. At Dangerous32, at One Nation Radio, at JDizzy87, or JamesBoyONR. I got JDizzy87 on the page, actually.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, whatever. Doesn't matter.
Check the articles out. Been getting a lot of feedback from them. A lot of people seem to, you know, dig the writing style and all that. And, you know, There's you know, new voices coming up, and you know, we're glad to be that, and you know, ride with us. James, anything you want to add on to that?
It's gonna be interesting next 10 weeks.
And we're gonna be trying to bang these shows out.
Real interesting next 10 weeks.
As much as we can. This is prime time, go time with wrestling. And you know, we could be going through a drought after WrestleMania. It happened last year, so we're going to get all our wrestling in, like, now. And, you know, by the time the summer comes, you know, we'll have a lot of content built up. And, you know, yeah. but I'm going to go ahead and throw in this Rise and Fall WCW DVD. We're going to peace out. This is One Nation Radio.
Later.